Okay, greet everybody today. We're going to start a series here for this month. What the Lord laid on my heart is the word more for 2021, the word more. And I think, you know, hopefully it will stir up some things in us, and I'll go into that a little bit more here as I explain it. I think what I've noticed in my life, I mean, I walk in blessing, but sometimes I want bless more, and we're going to learn a little about that, I think. But, you know, we need to learn, I think, how to develop in our lives a feeling of divine dissatisfaction. Divine dissatisfaction, meaning I'm content with what I have. I'm an easy keeper myself. I don't need a lot to be happy. But as well as knowing that I'm content, I also know that God has a lot more out there for me. I'm just not there yet. And so I don't want to just set up camp and just stop where I'm at right now and then never, you know, grow anymore in the things that God has for me. But I just want to see more things happen. And, you know, some Christians sometimes think it's wrong to want things. You know, because there is greed, you know, in our lives sometimes, right? We can get a little greedy, you know. Sometimes we can feel a little needy, but then sometimes if we let the needy get too far, you know, we can get a little greedy. You know, so we don't want to get into that. But, you know, to me, if you get, you know, why we want things, if we get that right in our heart and our mind, you know, then I think that you and I can be in line for a big blessing from God. And that's really what we're going after today. You know, the only way to be a blessing to others is to be blessed yourself. You know, if you have a desire to help other people, but you don't have the resources, well, then you can't really help them, can you? So it's not wrong to, you know, have more resources at your disposal. You know, just don't let those resources, you know, end up controlling your life. Now, for many, 2020, from what I've heard from people, they would probably sum it up as a year or less. You know, they didn't have as much in 2020. Maybe they were limited in their income due to lost their job. Maybe just the fact they couldn't get together with family members or all these different things that kind of happen in life. But I want to proclaim 2021 as a year of more in our lives. Amen. And we're going to really explore that now. Okay, this passage I want to look at for this month is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, and it's verse 9 and 10. It's talking about Jabez. And many of you have probably heard about Jabez, maybe not. Doesn't really have a lot of stuff about him in the Bible. It's really brief and amazing. That's why I like it. I like it brief and amazing. I don't like it long-winded. You know what I'm saying? But here it says, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother named him Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him with pain." Now Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my border, that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm, and that it may not pain me." And God granted him what he requested. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, I thank you for a special stir, and we bind up the devil from trying to rob us in any way, shape, or form. Lord, we break the power of the enemy over our life. We thank you that you have called us to be blessed. And right now, I just speak blessing in the name of Jesus over each and every person hearing my voice. Lord God, I thank you. I yield to the gift you've given me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and for the gift of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. So first we're going to look at, you know, the first idea is what's in a name. I don't know if many of you like your name. You know, I do and I don't. You know, I like my first name, but my middle name was always a struggle for me growing up. And my middle name's Carol. You know, it's a girl's name. You know, have you heard Johnny Cash's song, "A Boy Named Sue"? You know, a guy, you know, a dad was a drunk and he was going to run out on his family, and he knew he couldn't be there for his kids. So he named his boy Sue, so he had to fight his way through life so it'd be tough. Well, I didn't have to do all that because I never really mentioned my name. And but anyway, it was kind of a funny thing. You know, we named our kids, our boys, and we was going to break the curse. I called it a curse, you know. And we wasn't going to name them Carol. Well, then I found out it was really important to my parents. So we did it. And so now that my parents are both gone, if the boys want to change their name or drop one, they can. You know, it does whatever they want to do. But it is tough sometimes because names kind of mean things. You know, my name, the first name I have, Brad or Bradley, you know, it has a couple meanings. It has a secular meaning and a spiritual meaning. The secular meaning is broad meadow, which I can live with. You know, nice, pretty meadow. Who doesn't love a meadow? You know what I'm saying? You know, I like a meadow. And then my spiritual name means abundant provider. And I'll be honest, I've never had trouble making money in my life. I mean, I have to work for it. I mean, it doesn't come in the mail, you know, like some people get it in the mail, you know. But I have had to work with it. But God has given me a good work ethic. And I just, you know, I always have been able to provide for my family, even in times of lean. You know, we always made it. We always had enough. And, you know, Mom always taught me cream rises to the top, you know. And if you work hard and you pay attention, you know, I believe God will bless you and raise you up. Now, my wife's name means, I mean, you guys wouldn't think this. Her name means wine goddess. You know, the secular meeting, you know. I don't know. That's why I didn't want her to be in here right now. But her spiritual name means wise discerner. So, yeah. But anyway, that's that. So many parents, when you name your kids, you really think about it. You know, some people really get creative with names, don't they? You know, they get them names out there. It's really, you know, out there, you know, I don't know what they all mean. But see, you know, parents really want their kids to be unique. And that's why sometimes they give them the names that they do. Now, what I found out about names, sometimes they can be a label. And I don't know if you've ever been labeled in your life. I have. I've had some labels in my life, and some of them have hurt. You know what I mean? Just different things, because how many know kids can be kind of cruel? Some adults can be kind of cruel. You know, and they give you this label, and, you know, I've watched a lot of people, you know, like I said, some of the labels I liked and some I didn't. You know, in church, I liked one the kids gave me, PB, Pastor Brad, you know, in youth group. You know, that's just what they called me for short, and I didn't mind it. It was cool. You know, I liked it. At least they were, you know, got both of them in there, you know, in their own little way. But when I was in the world, I had some other nicknames. Some things that, you know, I don't really want to mention today because, you know, from where I see it, they're not me. They're not really me. And some people can give a name, a label. Now, what happened here was that Jabez, when he was born, evidently his mother had problems with the pregnancy. And when he was born, the word Jabez means pain. So I don't know about you, but how would you like to grow up in life that when everybody called your name, they knew it meant pain? You're a pain. And so every day of his life, when somebody used his name, it was thrown in his face all the time. And so those labels, when we get them in our life, sometimes they can try to mold us and make us into something that, you know, we don't maybe want to be. But it's hard to break that mold. We're going to look at some things today, how we can maybe turn, you know, some of those things around. Like I mentioned, every time he was called, and, you know, we live with labels, and sometimes even maybe people don't call us a label, but have you ever had a label about yourself in your mind? You know, deep down, in secret, you have a certain label when you think of yourself, and it's not a successful thing. You label yourself, and you put yourself down. The Bible says that a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So that's why we need to try to rearrange how we speak, and we need to rearrange how we think. And it's going to make a big difference, especially if 2021 is going to be a year of more. We don't want it to be a year of more problems, do we? We want it to be a year of more blessing, more things of God going on in our life. Now, one thing about a label, have you ever checked the labels? They all have an expiration date, don't they? You know, so I want you to put this expiration date as January 10th, 2021, if you have a bad label on your life. Because today is the day that label expires. And it's not going to be used now anymore. Now, the good thing about Jabez, what I liked about him, is that he refused to let someone else choose the trajectory of his life. See, even though his mom, I'm sure, loved him, because, you know, we see some different things here about how he's really honored and stuff, but, you know, the idea of how he turned that whole situation around in his life. As a matter of fact, we're going to see some of the things that kind of happened. Now, one thing about him being Jabez, what's interesting is this passage of 9 and 10 is sprinkled in the middle of the genealogy, and it's talking about probably much of his relation. But you know what? Jabez wasn't even mentioned. Not mentioned in the genealogy. All these other people, you could tell who their daddy was, and maybe some of them you could trace out and you can find out who their mama was. But not for Jabez. They just dropped him in this passage of Scripture. Now, I don't know about you, but have you ever felt invisible before? You know, sometimes we can feel invisible. We live in such a big world, and there's so many things going on about us, and we see so many people that maybe are walking in some sort of fame, or they're known for something, and sometimes we can just feel that nobody really knows my name, and they can't remember me. They don't know who I am or what I'm for. And see, that's the enemy. He comes in and tries to make us feel that way. Because I'm sure Jabez, you know, if he read this passage of Scripture, he could see, you know, that, hey, I wasn't even mentioned in the family tree. But, you know, don't worry about that, because what happens is the fact that, you know, we can turn those things around. Even though you feel isolated or left out sometimes. You know, the world tries to make us feel insignificant. But I want you to know that God says, I have a purpose for you. I have a purpose for your life. There is a reason that you're here. You're not an accident. But God has something specific for you to do, that you're going to leave a mark on this planet, and that God knows the great things He's done inside of you. What I like to see is the fact that Jabez didn't choose to be a pain all his life. Now, you can probably think of somebody that's a pain right now, can't you? Don't mention their name, because you know they might be sitting by you. But Jabez chose to break the mold. And we can do that. You know, he chose to live honorable. You know, he could easily said, you know, hey, you know, I'm a pain. You know, I just cause problems wherever I go. I'm a troublemaker. I'm bad to the bone. I'm a bad boy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I just do what I want when I want just because I want to. Nobody can tell me what to do. I've had this name put on me, and I'm angry and I'm mad, and, you know, I'm just going to take it all out on you. But no, he didn't do that, even though maybe he could have. He chose to live honorably. And see, that's what I want to see right now, is the idea of how important it is to live an honorable life as a Christian. You know, we can't make excuses. You may make an excuse, well, all my family is this way. We're a bunch of thugs or thieves or, you know, who knows what you broke out of. You know, but, you know, God changes our life and He puts us in a new place. See, we can't blame others for our bad behavior. You may have been raised by wolves, you know what I'm saying? You know, it may be a tough thing, and maybe your family is just blunt and they just speak with their mind and say what they want, and, you know, they're not, just take no prisoners. But, you know, we got to turn that around. It doesn't matter. Those things, we can't let them control you. And we can't let other people's names that they put up on us and control how we live. I know some of the names or labels that I had when I was growing up, when I was, you know, especially in my teenage years. You know, those labels, I mean, some of them at the time as a sinner, I liked them nicknames. But as a Christian, now I look back, I don't. But see, those things could have controlled me, and I could have lived out those things and, you know, lived the glory days. You know what I'm saying? But all those things would have led me astray from the things of God, and many times they did. But one thing that Jabez had going on in his life is that he had confidence to go to God. And see, that's something I know in my life I had. No matter how dark it got for me, no matter how messed up I really was, I always had confidence to go to God, even though I didn't understand Him. I didn't really understand everything about God. I didn't really know all the ins and outs. And, you know I prayed wrong and did some things wrong, you know, because I wasn't really there. But I always knew that maybe somehow God, I could slip a prayer through. You know what I'm saying? I could maybe get one through, past the goalie, you know, and maybe score. Because I knew that there's always that option. And I thank God that, you know, as a little kid, even though I went away from God in church, I know that I had that foundation in my life. So if you're dragging your grandkids to church or your kids to church, it's very important they get that, because they can tap into that later on. I did. And it saved me. It just saved me. And was able to turn my life around, because I could have lived out them labels. And those labels would have led me to hell. But see, God was able to turn them situations around because I had that confidence. What I like about God is God can take a nobody and he can make him a somebody. Amen. He can turn that life around. Maybe in the world situation, everybody looks down at you. You're not very prosperous. You have all these things going wrong in your life. It doesn't matter. God can get a hold of you. He can grab you and pull you up and bring you to the place that you need to be. See, when Jabez prayed to God, he turned his fortune around. And that's what you and I need to understand, that sometimes breakthrough is just a prayer away. Sometimes if we go to God and we cry out to God, things can turn around, situations can change in our life, and we can start to walk in the things that he has for us. And what we see here is evidently Jabez, even though he was named Pain and maybe he was insignificant, his name didn't even get mentioned, you know, as being tied to any family, Jabez developed a prayer life. Even though maybe people in the natural wouldn't listen to him, he knew God would. And he cried out to God. And then he chose to live an honorable life. He chose to live a life that would bring glory to God. And that's what you and I need to do. It really doesn't matter all these things in the peripheral going around us. And what I see in my life and what God's done for me, that God has the power to take my liabilities and to turn them into an asset. All those things that Satan tried to mark me with and hold me down, God took those things and he turned them around. And now he's using them against the devil. Amen. And that's what God can do in our life. He can turn us around and he can make us an asset in the kingdom of God. I don't know if you see yourself as an asset to the kingdom of God today. If you see that you're in the positive column, you know what I'm saying? That you're somebody that's making a difference. Well, God sees you. He sees that potential and he sees what he wants to do through you. All you have to do is choose to live honorably, to put God first and start to follow him. And I guarantee you, you'll be amazed. Just be amazed on where he takes you to. I never thought I'd go to any of the places that God took me to. But when I yielded my life to him, he was able to change that and turn things around. And you've heard me tell this testimony before. I ran into a guy, you know, when I moved to Denver, and he ended up coming to the church that I had gotten saved in and was going to Bible school. And, you know, he was there and I saw him, and because when I first met him, I was in my BC days. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I was wild, you know, just wild. And, you know, I ran into him at church there, and he looked twice at me. And finally, after a little while, he come up and told me, and he says, "You know, I never thought there was any hope for you." I go, "Whoa, thank you." I know he meant it as a compliment, you know, but, it just amazed me. But see, what I did is I decided not to live by that label. I decided not to be that person anymore. I wanted to be something different. And what's that Jabez? Jabez was so honorable. Did you know they named a city after him? The town of Jabez. I mean, that's how he was able to turn this whole situation around. He started to follow God. See, it doesn't matter where you come from. What matters is where you're going to. And that's what we have to remember. We have to keep our eye on that destination, that place where God wants to take us to, because it's a great and glorious place. To do that, we have to stand up and stand out. See, we prove that we live honorably one day at a time, okay? It's what we do every day. Daily decisions, I've always believed this, daily decisions determine our destiny. A lot of times, yeah, maybe a big decision can make a big part, but for the most part, it's those little decisions that you make every day. Every day that you're going to stay faithful to God. Every day you're going to stay faithful to the things that he wants for you to do. Oh, it may not look like you're being blessed immediately in the beginning, but believe me, in the long run, you're going to get yourself in a pattern of blessing, and then the blessings of God are going to start chasing you down. You're going to get into a different, shall we say, flow in life. You know, and that flow is going to make a big difference, because living a life of honor brings glory to God. And that's something that we need to have a desire. So how do we get more blessing? More blessing in our life. And that's my last point today, is sometimes we need to define what blessing is to you, okay? When you say blessing, I mean, we may have different thoughts out here today. If I was to say, you know, if God could give you a blessing, what would it be? And I'm sure you'd say different things. You know, because somehow if we don't define a word and refine it down in such a way, you know, we're going to miss out. Because the Bible definition of blessed means happy or blissful, okay? It means self-contained happiness coming by receiving favor from God. So it's self-contained happiness. See, when we're living the blessed life or walking in the blessed life, it means that the circumstances around us don't affect our blessing. Our blessing is something that we have because of our connection with God. See, we can walk in blessing. You can have, you know, zero money in the bank and still feel blessed. You know, all depends what your perspective is. Now, I know that's a harder one to do. You know what I'm saying? Just to be honest, it's harder. But we can walk in that blessing. See, I've found in my life that many times God blesses us and we fail to recognize it when it comes. We don't see it as a blessing. Have you ever heard of a blessing in disguise? That's me. I'm a blessing in disguise sometimes. My wife got that, amen. Sometimes I'm really disguised, you know what I'm saying? Some disguises I have are better than others. But see, what happened is you need to define what a win is in your life. And you just need to take some time. Take a few moments today. And what does it mean to be blessed? You know, some people might think a blessing, well, have a nice house, drive nice cars, have nice clothes. You know, if that's your idea of blessing. You know, I think there's more to it than that, you know. Some people think, you know, blessing is, I want to be so blessed that I don't need God anymore. Now, I don't think God will answer that prayer. You know what I'm saying? But some people just want so much money that they never ask to have God for anything. That's not really how it works. But see, we need to define the win. Because if we don't define the win, we'll never know if we've won. And that's going to bring ungodly dissatisfaction. It's going to make you feel like you have lack all the time. But see, along the journey from getting from A to Z, you know, there's blessings at D and E and F and G and all these places. We just got to define what our wins are. What it is in our life that would call us blessed, you know. Maybe being able to walk in peace in a very unpeaceful situation. That's a blessing. When everybody else is worried about you and you're not, that's a blessing. You know, I am very content and at peace with my God. And to me, I don't like that anxiousness. All those things that, you know, the world system is out there doing, you know, they're all revved up about everything. You know, they're worried about this and so-and-so happened. And I'll be honest, this is going to sound kind of cold. Everything that happened at Washington, D.C. last Wednesday didn't faze me a bit. Didn't bother me a bit. Why? Because my confidence is in God. My confidence is in my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of crazy stuff going on in the world. I just choose not to participate. You know, I just want to stay connected with God and be able to get through all these different things, but you have to define the win. You know, I like to know what the win is. Now, why would God bless you? Just think about that for a minute. Why would God bless you? Based on your looks? Anybody? Nobody? You got to figure out why. Are you even blessable? Short answer, yes, you are. But you need to know why. Is it based on all the good things that you do, that you help little ladies across the street and, you know, do all these nice things? No. Although, you know, living an honorable life does bring blessing. First, we need to understand that God blesses us because he wants to, because he loves you. Amen. And he wants you to experience that blessing because he is your father and you are his child. And you're in right relationship with him, not based on everything you've done, but based on what Jesus Christ has did on the cross. So blessing starts by faith. believing that God is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, found in Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews 11. So we need to see that we are blessable, that God wants to bless us. Now, God doesn't save us based on our works, but he also blesses us by them, though. There is the other side of the coin, that the things that we walk in by living an honorable life, you know, the law of sowing and reaping, that opens up the blessing, you know. Not just financially, but it does. If financially, you know, it's hard to ask God for money if you're not willing to sow money. It's hard to ask God to give you corn if you're not willing to plant corn. You see what I'm saying? So there is some things to it that we need to operate in and start to flow in, and I'm not going to go into those really deep today. But the idea of how things work and the idea that we should want to go through the big word, the Christian word, sanctification, means God's setting us apart and he's wanting us to walk for him. And as we start to walk in that, then we start to get into God's flow. It's not really that. It's kind of like priming the pump, but I believe it's kind of like when we get into God's flow. See, there's a lot of rivers out there you can jump in. Now, we talked about jumping in the river today, right? Back when I was a kid, if you told somebody to jump in the river, you know, that wasn't a praise thing. That was an insult, because I've been told to jump in the lake at least a couple times or a river growing up. But, you know, when you jump in the river, okay, when you're in the river, unless you go against the grain, but primarily when you get in the river, you just go with that flow. That flow of that current's going to take you, okay? So you just got to make sure you jump in the right spot. You got to jump in with God. And once we jump into the flow of God and get into that river and we start to flow with him, then we start to understand the principles and way God works. Now, I was oblivious to this growing up. You know, I went to church a little bit as a kid, then dropped out. And like I knew about God, I knew I could be confident to go to him. But how God did things, no clue. Just clueless about it. You know, but once I started to see, and I'll be honest, I've been saved over 30 years now. And it just amazes me. And every year I'm just more amazed. I read through the Bible every year, and I encourage you to do that. You know, it helps you see the big picture. But what amazes me is how this book ties together. It just expands my mind and my thinking that over many generations that people, this book was written by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and that how it all connects. Nobody could do that in the natural. There's no way. But every year it just confirms to me that I can trust that word. And see, that puts me in a position to be blessed, because then I know that if I start to operate and I start to walk in the things that God says in the Word, then I can see the reward or the blessing for it. Now, it takes time to get into that. It's a process, right? You don't start at the top, you know. You don't start understanding everything, because, you know, you just got to get in where you're at right now. Then you start to understand things. And then little by little, you keep putting it in. A word here, a word there. You know, starting to tie things together. Just by, you know, daily decisions determine destiny. I daily decide I'm going to read the Word of God every day. I daily decide I'm going to pray every day. Oh, some days are funner than others. I'm not going to lie to you. Some day it's like just, you know, cracker juice. You know what I'm saying? It's just dry. You know, I just ain't getting nothing out of it. But I do it anyway. I don't quit, because I know that it's probably my attitude or my emotions that day, because I know God's word is powerful. You know, something that I just been, I don't know why I'm throwing this out, but I'm going to throw it out anyway. The other day, you know, during the prayer thing I was talking about, it was talking about a caterpillar and a butterfly. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if you think about it, you know, but, you know, that little critter, when he crawls and finally he gets in that cocoon, man, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on inside that cocoon. Google that and look it up. There's little videos you can watch about it. Just the change, the transformation that takes place. Because inside that little caterpillar crawling around is a butterfly. It just ain't been revealed yet. And it won't be revealed until he gets into that cocoon. And when he gets in that cocoon, that place that's been foreordained by God for him to go, then he lets God do the magic. And see, we need to let God do the magic in our life. We need to let him come in and do that transformation process so that we can be changed. And I'll tell you what, it sets us up to be on the place where we need to be following him, and then we start to walk in that blessing. It's a changed life. Changed lives change lives. And see, there's a reward for choosing to live for God. Now, why do we want more blessing? This is what I want us to understand. See, like I said, God doesn't bless us so that we don't need him anymore. And see, that's what happens. See, sometimes, God, if I won the lottery, or God, if you just gave me, you know, all the money I ever need, I'll never bother you again. No, God doesn't want us to get that. God wants us to continually go to him every day. That's why it talks about daily bread. Okay, now, one thing, if we can get our mind turned around, usually what happens in starting out is that many of us want to be blessed so that we can be blessed, okay? I mean, be honest, we're all carnal creatures, right? I want to be blessed, you know? I like being blessed. But see, what happens, and I think you have to go in the cocoon to really get this, is that when you're blessed to be a blessing. See, that's where God's wanting to get us to. He wants to bless us because he loves us. Who doesn't want to bless their kids? A couple of you, maybe. I don't know. Just kidding. I know there's some days I don't want to bless my kids. I'll be honest. You know, they didn't deserve it. But I still love them anyway. But, you know, I want to be blessed so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. That means when I'm in a situation and I'm standing there and somebody's telling me a story, all of a sudden, I feel that little feeling that comes out of here. Give that person $100. I can do that because God's blessed me to be a blessing. Now, if I'm not blessed, if I don't have $100, I can't give them a dime, right? So it's why we're blessed is what we need to settle in our heart. And it's a battle because we've got that carnal nature. But if we can see ourselves as a vessel for God to flow through instead of just a vessel for God to flow to, then we've kind of turned the corner in our walk with God. You know what I'm saying? We're starting to walk in a level of maturity, and we need to get there. Okay, now, the level of impact that we make on others is limited to the level of blessing we walk in. I just wanted to throw that out. Okay, now in closing, when we remember the life of Jabez, I think it can be summed up by two statements. He lived right, and then he prayed right. And let that be our goal as we start in on this series, that, you know, maybe we're struggling right now in our walk with God. I mean, everybody struggles from time to time. But choose today that expiration date on that label, that you're not that person no more, that you've went into the cocoon and you've got that new life, and that new life is starting to flow through you. Because let 2021 be a year of more for all of us. That we're going to first walk in more blessing. And then next week I'll give you part two, which I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I was really excited about that one. Okay, I'll tell you. More influence. That's what we need in our life, don't we? We need more influence. We need to make change in this country and in the lives of people around us. Amen? Amen. That's going to come by more from God. Let's pray.